Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. Well, the big news with regards to the FTX bankruptcy proceedings is that the founder and former chief executive, Sam Bankman-Fried, has now been formally arrested. At 6 p.m. on Monday, the Royal Bahamas police picked him up from his apartment and took him into custody. And this arrest relates directly to charges that have been raised against Bankman-Fried in the USA. No official statement has yet been released, but the New York Times has reported that Bankman-Fried has been charged with wire fraud, securities fraud, money laundering and conspiracy charges. And all four of these are very serious charges and could lead to a seriously long period in jail for Bankman-Fried. Now, the timing of this arrest is really quite interesting because Sam Bankman-Fried was due to appear on Tuesday, the following day, in front of the US House of Representatives, where he was expected to give his opinion as to what happened and to potentially share more information as to how FTX managed to lose over $8 billion in customer deposits. And with regards to the bankruptcy proceedings themselves, John Ray, who's the newly appointed chief executive of FTX, who's handling the fallout, has now submitted further testimony, which provides more details on the shambolic running of FTX. So this video is really intended to give you a quick update on the situation and will be much shorter than my usual presentations. However, I'd like to share with you some extracts that we looked at recently from the DealBook interview, which I think incriminate Sam Bankman-Fried and are going to cause him major problems with regards to his defense against those charges. And in terms of what is the potential outcome for Sam Bankman-Fried if he does get found guilty, I thought it'd be worth having a quick look at the charges and the sentences that were given to similar cases, including Elizabeth Holmes, Bernard Ebbers, and the most famous fraudster of all, Bernie Madoff. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next few weeks with regards to this case, the FTX bankruptcy, and the wider crypto markets. So Sam Bankman-Fried has been charged with wire fraud, securities fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy. So he's going to have to defend himself on all of those counts. And in order to be able to do that, he's going to need to show that FTX was run as a really well-oiled machine. He had lots of regulations in place, lots of risk management, and was able to defend all of the decisions that were made. Now, in terms of the recent interview that he gave on DealBook, I don't think he's going to be in a very strong position to be able to do any of that. In conjunction with all of the comments that are coming out from John Ray in terms of the amount of mismanagement that he's finding FTX and the fact that he's now pointing to the fact that he believes that a lot of the funds were co-mingled. So the client monies, which should have been held in separate escrow accounts, were effectively put into the same bank account as all of the FTX funds, and therefore they weren't protected. So in terms of the recent statements that Sam Bankman-Fried's made, let's hear from him with regards to his position as chief executive.
And at the end of the day, I was CEO of FTX. And that means whatever happened, whatever it happened, I had a duty to all of our stakeholders, to our customers, our creditors. I had a duty to our employees, to our investors, and to the regulators in the world, to do right by them, to make sure the right things happened at the company. And clearly, I didn't do a good job of that. Clearly, I made a lot of mistakes or things I would give anything to be able to do over again.
So Sam Bankman-Fried's taking a very honest and frank position here. But interestingly, he's not trying to apportion the blame to anybody else. When you look at other major cases like this, quite often there'll be a chief executive and a chief finance officer, and one will blame the other, and they will both say, it was nothing to do with me, it was all the other guy. FTX didn't actually have a chief finance officer anyway, so he doesn't have anybody that he can point the finger at, but he's holding his hands up, and therefore he is going to be in a very vulnerable situation if the authorities do decide that criminal activity was taking place in the company. It's all going to be pointed towards him. Now, in terms of the crux of the problem, the fact that the money has disappeared indicates that FTX did not have good risk management policies or controls. So let's hear directly from Sam Bankman-Fried himself as to how FTX was managing to protect all of the customer exposure in the event of the market moving against their positions.
Now, of course, all of this, it's meant to be the case that these are positions where FTX could, if it needed to, margin call those positions and close them down in time such that it would cover all of those, all those shorts, all those liabilities. Obviously, that wasn't the case here. And that's a massive failure of oversight, of risk management, and of diffusion of responsibility from myself running FTX.
So once again, Sam Bankman-Fried is holding his hands up here and saying, we didn't have good risk management policies, and that's my responsibility. And let's remind ourselves that there is over $8 billion of missing customer funds here. So somebody is going to have to be accountable. Somebody is going to carry the can. And as I said earlier, all roads are leading to Sam Bankman-Fried here. Now, in terms of the fraud charges, a lot of the detail is going to be focused in on what happened to the money and how FTX was accounting for this. And Sam Bankman-Fried has said that there were accounting mistakes made. So let's hear exactly what his position is on this.
In terms of the accounting mistake, again, looking through what happened, I think that there is a substantial discrepancy between what the financials were, what the audited financials were, the true financials. What the exchange understood, all of that was consistent, versus what the dashboards that we had displayed for Alameda's account there, which substantially under displayed the size of that position. And so that's one of the reasons that I was surprised when we dug into everything at how big that position had become.
So alongside the accounting mistake, he's also blaming the internal systems. The dashboard that he referred to was the daily record that he would have been looking at to see what all of the exposures were. And he's saying that it massively underrepresented the real position. Now, that is not a defense. That's not going to get him off any of these charges. Saying that his IT system wasn't showing all of the figures correctly isn't going to bring $8 billion back for all of those customers. So once again, as chief executive, as somebody who's in charge of how the company was set out, somebody who's in charge of the risk management, somebody who's in charge of the IT and the dashboard, it's all his responsibility. So none of this is going to save him in a court of law. Now, in terms of John Wray's investigations, one of the things that's come out so far is that Alameda Research, which is the company that's 90% owned by Sam Bankman-Fried, it's his hedge fund that he set up before he established FTX. That company had managed to borrow billions of dollars from FTX. It's reported to be somewhere in the region of $8 billion, but we don't have the figures confirmed yet. And that money has disappeared. And one of the key areas of the criminal investigation is likely to be who authorized the movements of cash to Alameda Research and who was managing that exposure. So let's hear from Sam Bankman-Fried with regards to how the position got so large and what restrictions were in place.
What it seems like happened is in the middle of the year, a lot of, most of the borrow lending desks in the space blew out or closed down. And it seems like Alameda had, margin positions opened with them, and that it likely moved a bunch of that over to FTX this year when they shut down. I was frankly surprised by how big Alameda's position was, which points to another failure of oversight on my part. And failure to appoint someone to be chiefly in charge of that. But I wasn't trying to commingle funds.
So what we just heard from Sam Bankman-Fried is that whilst everybody else was going bust, Alameda Research was able to move all of its exposure directly onto FTX. There's no explanation given as to who authorized any of that. And then he goes on to say that he was surprised by the level of exposure and that he should have put somebody in charge to be able to limit what FTX's exposure to Alameda Research was. So once again here, his defense is ignorance. He's saying he didn't know about it and therefore he couldn't have done anything about it at the time. But ultimately, as chief executive and the person who's responsible for setting out all of the procedures and the operating manuals and the risk management, it's his responsibility. So the money has gone. It went via Alameda Research. Somebody signed off on it. Somebody was aware of it. He owns 90% of Alameda Research. So again, if you're looking at this from a criminal investigation perspective, you're looking at who's behind the companies. He's behind both companies. He's saying he didn't appoint anybody to manage the risk, and therefore it's his responsibility. So he's leading with his chin here. In boxing terms, he's going for a reverse knockout. The charges of fraud are really serious and will carry a very long jail term. And at the Dealbook interview, Sam Bankman-Fried was asked directly, did he commit fraud? So let's hear what his response was.
I didn't ever try to commit fraud on anyone. I was excited about the prospects of FTX a month ago. I saw it as a thriving, growing business. I was shocked by what happened this month. And, reconstructing it, Were there things I wish I had done differently?
Now that is a really interesting response to the question, did you commit fraud? He starts off by saying, no, I didn't. But he doesn't go into any detail. He doesn't say about why it wasn't fraud, how he had systems in place, how somebody else must have done something without his knowledge. He basically goes on to say that he was excited about the prospects for the company still, and that he was shocked by all of the findings. So not a very strong defense, and certainly not one that would hold up well in a court of law. So in terms of what the worst case scenario could be for Sam Bankman-Fried, if he gets found guilty on all of the charges that have been put against him, how long can he expect to spend in prison? So I thought it was worth looking at some comparable cases of founders of businesses who got found guilty of either fraud or money laundering or other charges, and how long they actually were given as their prison sentence. Elizabeth Holmes was the founder and chief executive of a company called Theranos, which claimed to have created a groundbreaking revolutionary machine that could undertake multiple tests for serious diseases from a single pinprick of blood. But unfortunately, the whole concept was a fraud. The machine could not do any of the things that it claimed to do. Theranos was put into Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and Elizabeth Holmes was arrested on multiple criminal charges. Jurors at federal court found Holmes guilty on 3 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And in November 22, Elizabeth Holmes was sentenced to 11 years and 3 months in prison, and she is due to report to prison on April the 27th, 2023. Bernie Ebbers was the founder and chief executive of WorldCom, one of the largest telecommunications companies in the world in the late 1990s. Now, Bernie Ebbers was dubbed the telecom cowboy and ran around buying up lots and lots of other telecoms businesses in order to become the biggest and the best. But unfortunately, as the business grew, its profits fell. But rather than announcing this to the markets, Bernie Ebbers took the decision to start hiding some of the losses into subsidiary companies and came up with a very clever and complex accounting system. Once this accounting fraud was discovered, it was uncovered that WorldCom was actually making large losses, the stock price fell, and Bernie Ebbers was arrested and charged with fraud and conspiracy. He was later convicted of 25 years in prison and was released 1 month short of his death. Bernie Madoff is the most infamous financial fraudster in US history. He created his business, Madoff Securities, which took money from investors on the premise of making market-beating returns using the magical system that Bernie Madoff had created. But unfortunately, there was no magical system. Bernie Madoff was not making any real investments. All he was doing was using the money from one investor to pay out returns to other investors. So this was a classic Ponzi scheme. And unfortunately for everybody involved, it built up through the 80s and 90s to be one of the biggest investment companies in the world. It was so successful that Bernie Madoff was actually appointed as the chairman of NASDAQ during his time whilst he was running this Ponzi scheme. But unfortunately, all good things come to an end. And at the point when he was arrested, there was around $65 billion that had been invested into his company. So this was the biggest fraud in US history. And Bernie Madoff was charged with wire fraud, securities fraud, money laundering, and criminal activities. All of the charges that Sam Bankman-Fried is reported to be facing right now. And when he was sentenced, he was given the maximum jail term permissible of 150 years. And obviously, he then died in prison. So in terms of what's the likely outcome for Sam Bankman-Fried, well, obviously that will depend on whether or not he gets found guilty on these charges. But from what we've seen in today's video, I think he's not really put forward any coherent defense so far. To say that he wasn't aware of things and that they should have done better and he should have put some risk management in place, and he doesn't really understand how Almeida managed to get such a big borrowing position, even though he owned 90% of that company. I don't think any of that is a strong argument against the criminal charges. So let's make an assumption that he gets found guilty and look at the three cases that we've just talked about. Elizabeth Holmes got 11 years, Bernard Ebbers got 25 years, and Bernie Madoff got 150 years. Well, the charges that Sam Bankman-Fried is facing are similar to the Bernie Madoff charges. And whilst the losses are not as great as those involved in the Madoff situation, this is a groundbreaking case in terms of the world of cryptocurrency. So there is a very real possibility that the judges involved could want to make an example of Sam Bankman-Fried to show that they're now looking to crack down on cryptocurrency, because cryptocurrency, like it or not, does have a reputation of being attractive to criminal activities. So this could be seen as something where they want to make an example of Sam Bankman-Fried. And it wouldn't surprise me that if he gets convicted, he gets a sentence closer to what Bernie Madoff got than the other two. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, obviously, I wanted to post this video to share with you the news that Sam Bankman-Fried has been arrested. But I also wanted to look into his position, to evaluate what his defense is likely to be, to then look at whether or not we think he's likely to get convicted, and if he does, what his likely sentence is. And I think the summary of today's video is that I'm not seeing any coherent defense at all so far for Sam Bankman-Fried. He needs to start coming out with tangible statements about what risk management was in place, how he did everything he could to make sure he was protecting customer deposits, how he was monitoring all of the exposure, making sure that there wasn't too much risk and that everybody would be left whole. Now, he can't say yes to any of those things because we're hearing there was no risk management. He didn't really know what was happening. He didn't appoint anybody either as a chief risk officer or chief finance officer. He didn't have anybody in charge of the Alameda research exposure. He is definitely going to be on thin ice when it comes to talking about Alameda Research because he owns 90% of that company. So from his own perspective, it was in his personal interests for Alameda Research to do well because he personally would have benefited from that. So without having anything tangible to put forward as a defense, it looks like he's going to be facing all of these charges. And he's going to need to find himself a super sharp lawyer really quickly if he's got any chance of getting off any of these charges. And as we talked about at the end of the video, if he does get convicted, I think that it's quite likely that the courts might want to make an example of Sam Bankman-Fried because this was a guy that was seen to be a revolutionary in his field. He was doing things in a very different way. He'd rock up to meetings in his t-shirt and shorts. He was playing games while talking to venture capitalists about investing hundreds of millions of dollars. He was doing things his own way. This was the whole brave new world of cryptocurrency. These guys are cut from a different cloth. They think about things in a different way. Now, unfortunately, that has all turned to dust. So obviously none of it was actually working and the company was insolvent. And coming out with a defense that basically says, I'm really sorry, I didn't know what I was doing, I should have done a better job, isn't going to cut it. So I think there is a really high likelihood that Sam Bankman-Fried could be convicted of a very long jail sentence. We could be talking 50 or 100 years in jail, or possibly even the maximum 150-year term that Bernie Madoff got. So there's a real chance here that Sam Bankman-Fried could turn out to be the Bernie Madoff of cryptocurrency. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. If you did, please give me a thumbs up. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And thanks for watching this video all the way through to the end.